Good morning. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that Jesus is alive and well? Amen. And you bring him with you this morning. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Boy, it's so good to be with you. I'm glad to see everybody in the start of this new year. Open up your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 5 and 1 Timothy chapter 4. Matthew chapter 5, 1 Timothy chapter 4. And this has been on my heart for a good while, and I've been trying to figure out exactly how we're going to do it, and the Lord just wouldn't exactly line it out to me. He wants us just, so we're just going to follow the Spirit of God this morning and just let Him bring it forth the way He would have it. If we're not careful, we can take what He gives us and we can put it in a box, even though the Holy Ghost gives it to us. Amen? Amen. So we're just going to follow Him this morning. This is our vision casting service for this 2021. And, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, my people perish. And, of course, that word perish there, it means to loosen. It even means to make bare. What did the devil do to Adam and Eve in the garden? We've got to have a vision. We've got to have the Word of God. Amen. We've got to be holding tighter to that vine than ever before. Matthew chapter 5. Starting in verse 13. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Notice this is Jesus teaching. He says, ye are, present tense, right now, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Verse 14. Ye are, present tense, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 12. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Brother Donnie, would you pray? Yes. Amen and amen. Thank you for being here. Once again, thank you for honoring the word. Thank you, Brother Donnie, for your prayer. Hallelujah. So, as I was seeking the Lord and just trying to get a grasp on what He would have us to do and have a vision for this year of 2021, I kept hearing the word influencer. And if you look out on our board out there, That's our word for 2021, influencer. Say, I'm an influencer. Amen. See, when you've been influenced by the Holy Ghost, by the Spirit of God, when Jesus Christ has been made manifest in your life and you've accepted Him and received Him as your Lord and your Savior, the influence of all of heaven has been received by you, and thus you are in not only entitled, not only are you enabled, but you're required then to allow that influence to come out of your life. Amen? And to touch other people. And what a privilege and opportunity that is. And so you hold on to that word, because the word influence, it means that you're able to touch somebody in a way that affects the way they see things, the way they understand things, and it has such an impact on them that it changes them to the focal point of what you're focused on. Well, you're focused on Jesus. Amen? And so with your focal point on Jesus, that means that you're going to be able to point people back to a risen Savior. Amen? That's what we want. So as I was seeking the Lord, He led me to these very familiar verses of Scripture. You've heard them preached. You've heard them taught. You've meditated on them many times. But we've got to see that we are salt and light. That we are that because Jesus said so. Let's jump back up and look at what He said in verse number 1 Matthew 5 and 1. And seeing the multitudes, he, Jesus, went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. So he's teaching his disciples, those who are disciplined in his word. Well, Jesus made a promise. He said in John 8:31, he said that if you hear his word, if you continue in his word, that you would be his disciple. And then the great verse 32 says that that you will know the truth, right? And the truth will make you free. And so we need to see that that truth is inside of you. It's inside of me. It's inside of every blood-washed believer. And he wants us to take that truth and influence other people. Have you ever seen a time in your whole life where you've seen more people bound than right now? 2020 was a year that was bound in so many ways. From this little mass to all the things. The Lord woke me up with a dream this morning, and in time I hope I'm able to share it, but I'll share this part of it. He was talking about three pillars. See, you and I, we're a pillar in the temple of God, amen? We're a pillar in the plan and the will of God. But the three pillars of our society is supposed to be church, family, and work. What did the devil attack in 2020? Those three pillars. He done everything he could to try to take those three pillars out of society. And so the attack that you and I have seen and we experienced, but praise God, we come through boldly by the help of the Lord in 2020. 2021, the Lord is going to show up and he's going to allow his church to influence. Amen. He's going to allow. So we're a disciple, and he's talking to us this morning. But here's what you've got to lay in the background as you're holding him in the forefront of your thought pattern and of your desire. When you make this stand, and you're going to make it, you're going to encounter some things. And so I'm just, as a little side note, just going to throw this in so you'll have it in your heart and you'll be prepared. Notice what Jesus said in verse number 10. He said, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Now, stay with me. He said, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." But he said, "Rejoice," verse 12, "rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." So, to be able to, when you're salt and light, you're going to be noticed. And when you're noticed, you're going to have an impact on people, and people are going to be in a place where they have to either have to choose light or choose darkness. They have to choose the very truth of Jesus or not. And sometimes they're going to be in the place where they don't like what you're standing for. And so persecution will be there. But Jesus said that you and I need to be in the place where we recognize that persecution brings blessing. The church really hasn't been persecuted here in America because we haven't been that great of an influence. We've lost it. But I want you to believe with me that God's fixing to restore it. Amen? I believe there is an anointing that's coming that's going to fall on those who are willing, those who are looking. And that anointing is going to come in a way that is so powerful that it's going to break yokes off of people who otherwise would never be made free. Amen? I'm ready, aren't you? I am ready. All right. So let's see some things here. Now notice what he said. Jump back up to verse 9. Here is who you and I are. Blessed are the peacekeepers. We're not here to keep peace, are we? Jesus didn't come to keep peace. He came to really make peace. Amen? That's who you are. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. So every blood-bought child of God, you are a peacemaker. Amen? So yes, persecution is coming. But someone who makes peace, they have a great ability to communicate things. Don't you love somebody who can come into a situation where there's two sides, and those two sides are at odds, and there's a great division there, but somebody can come and can bring them together. Come on now. In this this year of 2021, the church is going to be anointed, going to be raised up to bridge in this gap that we have seen in different generations, in different attitudes, different understandings, different nationalities. All of these things, there's going to be an anointing, an influence that's going to bring people together who will. Come on now, there's some people out there who are hungry. They're looking. And guess what? You're God's chosen to be able to do it. Amen. So here you are this morning. You're on the cusp, the breaking edge of the wave of what's fixing to happen. You're not here by accident. You're here by divine direction. Now, God wants you to be in the place where you see that with Him that you make a majority. Amen. One can put 1,000 to flight. Two can put... Come on now. So you're coming together with the plan of God in this year of 2021 and all of those hardships and those things that you've encountered. And there's been a lot of heartache in this past year. Let's let God take care of those things. Amen. Let's let the influence of the Lord come into our life where we can see some things change. Okay. So notice what he said there. He said that ye are the salt of the earth. Now, I don't know about you, but... there is nothing worse than trying to eat a meal without salt. And so we've got to see that religion tries to take this Bible and give it to people without salt. They don't want it. It don't taste good. It don't taste right. It's not something that is attractive to them. But Jesus said, I'm going to bring an anointing upon my people, and they're going to be the salt to who I am and to my plan and to my will. And it's going to make things better. So you and I, we can have all the salt in the world, but if we don't take it out of the salt shaker, if we don't pour it out, it does no good. Well, God's going to give you anointing to pour out what's inside of you. There is more inside of you than you've ever dreamed of, because there's the will and the plan of the Father from the foundation of the world that is inside of you. And God wants to, by His Spirit, to tip you up and to pour it out. Amen? So you are the salt. And you're going to what? You're going to enhance things in this 2021. You're going to be in the place where you preserve things. Salt preserves things. Salt brings healing and all of those things. And you've heard all of those things preached. You know it very well. But I want you to get it in your heart this morning that you are what God says you are. Not the devil. Not somebody else. Not the negative media and all of these things. You are what God says. And God says that right now, through Jesus Christ, that you are the very salt. You are the light. Now, you hold on that, and we'll break it down as we see where we're going. But now, let's think about these verses in Matthew. They're our theme for this year, along with 1 Timothy 4:12. Now, in 1 Timothy 4:12, you know, Paul's talking to the young evangelist who... become a pastor and all of these things. But he said, I want you to see that you are an example. And so you've got to see, just like Jesus said, and when he said it, it was so. Paul is talking by the unction of the Spirit of God to this epistle. The epistle is written to the church, written to Timothy, but it's written to you and I this morning. And so when he says you are an example, he means it. Right. Amen? Yeah. Okay, so the word example is a Greek word. It's tupos. And this Greek word, it means a die that has been cast. Okay? A die that has been cast. And so I want you to understand, a die that's been cast means that the mold has been finished. It's been set. Right. So when Paul said to Timothy, when Paul by the Spirit of God said to you and I, to the church, that you are an example, then it's not something that you're working to become or you're going to become. You are, in Jesus' name. Amen? Knock that down a notch, Brother Justin, if you don't care. You are. You are. Amen? So right now, you are an example. And so he said, be an example to not only the believers, but the believers are to reach out into all the world, right? So that's who you are. In this year of 2021, you are an influencer. Now, I want you to understand how this word is used. Tupos, an example. You remember when Jesus appeared after his trip to the cross and to the tomb and then his resurrection, and he come into where the disciples were, and they were trembling in fear. And remember, Thomas wasn't there? And so they were telling Thomas about Jesus coming. And Thomas said, I'm not going to believe unless I stick my finger in the print of the nail in his hands And as I stick my hand in his side, okay, those words are print, that's tupos. So in other words, what Thomas is saying is, unless I can actually let what Jesus done shape me and mold me, I'm not going to believe it. Right. But see, Jesus loved him so much, he made a second trip, right? And he come into that room, and what did he do? He stuck his finger in the print. And when he stuck his hand in the print, when he stuck it in there, he becomes shaped like Jesus. He become an example because he said, what did he say? Oh, Lord, I believe. And Jesus said, that's great. I'm glad that you do. But now I want you to know that there's going to be many who's not going to be able to do what you did, but they're going to be blessed because they're going to believe without seeing me. How are they going to believe? Saved by me. Come on, you're an influencer. The very print, because you were in the mold of Jesus Christ, in other words, he has shaped you and molded you, he's made you who you are, you're going to go into your world in 2021, and you're going to allow that same mold to come off of you and be placed on somebody else. Amen? This is what the Lord has for us. All right, so let's get some things in our heart, I think, that'll help us so much. All of this is going to happen, we know that, because of the love of God. And let's go to another familiar verse of Scripture. This was part of my dream this morning. But 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the great love chapter. You've heard it at weddings. You've heard it taught. You've heard it preached. But look at verse number 8. You can quote the verse. 1 Corinthians 13:8. Charity never faileth. In other words, love never fails. Never. Now, this word never means not even at one time throughout the eons of time. Love never fails. Now, we know that God is love, and God can't fail, right? So, love is not just a feeling. It's not an emotion. It's a reality. It's an action. And so, we know Romans 5:8, for God demonstrated his love toward us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. It was an action. And so... for you and I to be the influencer that God would have us to be in 2021, it's just got to be by the love of God. Now, the Bible says that love covers a multitude of sins. And so, for you and I to be able to be that peacemaker, for you and I to be able to stand against the persecution when it comes and not allow it to change us, we've got to recognize and realize we're not going by feeling. We're going by who God is. We're going by the demonstration that God demonstrated in us, his love. So he influenced us with his love, and we in turn have the ability, the opportunity, the responsibility, and the great destiny of doing the very same thing. Amen. All right. Now notice what it says. It says, love never fails, charity never faileth, but whether they be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether they be tongues, they shall cease. Whether they be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Now, This word faileth, it means to become inefficient. It means to drop away. It means to fall. It means to become inefficient. I don't know about you, but there's never been one time when my God has been inefficient in my life. There's never been one time when he's dropped away from me. He's, in time of trouble, always drawn closer to me, right? Closer to you. And so... when he tells us that love will never fail, we've got to say, when I meet hate, when I meet anger, I'm going to be strong because I'm justified by faith, right? And Galatians 5:6 tells us that faith works by love. Love. So my faith is going to sustain me. Your faith is going to sustain you because our faith is in a God who is love, who has demonstrated love. His influence was not one time, but it's continual. Aren't you glad that God just doesn't touch us one time and then say, now go? No, he's flowing into us. We're the branch. He's the vine. And he's flowing continually into us. And we're bearing much fruit. And our fruit is remaining. Amen. Okay, so let's understand some things. Go with me to Revelation chapter 2. And let's see where it talks about love never fails. In Revelation chapter 2, he's talking to the church at Ephesus. And just let me read the first few verses to lay a foundation. Revelation 2:1, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars, the seven angels, in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. That's the churches, right? Verse 2, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and I know how thou cannot bear them which are evil, and that thou hast tried them which say that they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake have labored and has not fainted. Now stay with me. Look at verse number 4, though. We come here for verses 4 and 5. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Now, the devil, he wants to steal your heart. He wants to steal my heart. And so here the warning was to the church at Ephesus from the mouth of Jesus Christ, by the pen of John the Beloved, was, hey, make sure that you don't fall away from love. Now look at verse number 5. This is why we came here specifically. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. That word fallen is the same Greek word, love never fails. Love never drops away. Love never becomes ineffective. But he said, remember where you've fallen. In other words, my love never fails, but if you pull away, if you drop away from my love, then the elevation, the place of influence that I had for you, it becomes ineffective. Remember therefore from which thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, now notice this, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Now what did Jesus say? Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Man doesn't light a candle and put it under a bushel, but they set it on a candlestick. The candlestick, if you put Revelation 1:20. Let's make sure we understand. Revelation 1:20. The seven stars are the angels, and the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks is which they saw are the seven churches. So you are the light of the world, but don't get mad at me. Those people who say you don't have to be a part of a church, everybody's got a place. Hebrews chapter 10, down about verse 25, tells us not to forsake ourselves gathering together as we see the day of the Lord approaching. I believe we're seeing signs of that continually, don't you? So we need to be in our place, in our church. Now, I realize that we're in the body of Christ. That is Jesus' church. And I recognize and realize that you can be saved and go to heaven without being in a church. But you need to have somebody to help you when you're weak. And you need to be there to help somebody else when they're weak. You say, well, I can do that. Yes, you can. But they started the pattern in the book of Acts. And guess what? When Jesus comes back, that pattern is going to be going on. You say, well, that was house churches. Yes, it was. I believe that we need to gather as much as we can. And we will gather in the homes, I believe, more before the coming of the Lord. But we need to gather together in the name of the Lord in a church. Make sure it's a church setting. Whether it is in the home or it's in the building, you need to be somewhere. And you need to be in a place where you have responsibility for this influence. I need to be somewhere where I have responsibility to be an influence. Amen. I need to know that God called me and saved me, not just to take me to heaven, though He wants that. He wants me in the eternity. He wants you in the eternity. But we've got something to do while we're waiting for that sounding of the trumpet. Amen. Okay. So what did Jesus say? He said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. So the reason why we're looking at this, there's been several prophecies that have come out. I don't know if you've been paying attention to them or not, if you've checked them by your spirit, but there's going to be a great shaking. And there's going to be some churches, some church systems that is going to be shook in this coming year. And you need to make sure that your faith is in Jesus. First of all, your faith is not in a man or in a church building, but we've got to see that everything that happened in 2020 was to reveal what is true and what is false, what is of God and what is of not. And so this coming year, you want to make sure that you're holding strong, because there's going to, as you look at these seven churches in the book of Revelation, they're a pattern Some people teach them as seven church ages. Have no problem with that. But I believe that there will be a type of all seven churches at the coming of the Lord. And so we want to make sure that we're in that place of Smyrna, that we're in that place of Philadelphia, right? Those two churches. So here, this church at Ephesus, they had a problem. They had turned their eyes off of Jesus. But Jesus said, all you got to do is repent. So you and I, we need to be an influence to make sure that people are staying close to the fire. You know, you can have the biggest fire going of all time, and if a stick of wood is not close enough, it will not burn. It will go out right beside the fire. You and I, we need to influence people and draw them in. Amen. Draw them closer. Now, for instance, this man was sharing this testimony with me. He said, you know, I was working at this Christian school, and we opened up three new classes. And these three new classes, they had to be in these metal buildings. And he said, so I went to my church, and I said, is there any way that you can help us get some window units that so we can have a little bit of AC in these buildings, because they're really, really hot on these kids. And so took it from committee to committee to committee to committee, finally made it to the pastor, and they said, well, we just spent $25,000 on a guitar system, and so we just really can't do that right now. Now, I'm not judging anything, but God blesses us to be a blessing. And God wants us to help. And so this man was really hurt. He was hurt so bad that he prayed about it. And God brought him out of that church. And right now he's trying to figure out exactly where he's supposed to be, because he wants to be in the place where he serves. This church has a $20 million budget. And they can't buy three window units or even participate in a small way. Something's wrong. Now, anyway. So what I'm saying is, you and I, we've got to know in this 2021 that when some things happen before your eyes, you need to look and you need to not be discouraged, because your eyes is not on man's church. Your eyes is on the true church. Your eyes is on the Lord. Amen. So that's the only reason why I include that. All right. So let's go back to 1 Timothy. And let's read that again. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now, notice Paul goes into great detail, and we don't have time to cover it. I admonish you in your home study time. But he said in verse 11, these things command and teach. And he says, let no man despise thy youth. Now, you may be young in the Lord, or you may be long time in the Lord, but young in what God's calling you to do. Because God's he's revealing some things. He's calling his people, no matter where they're at in their spiritual birth, their new birth, whether you've been saved for one day or whether you've been saved for 50 years, it doesn't matter. When you are walking with Jesus, he's always calling you to something new. And so just as Peter here, this word youth is used from anybody from the age of 40 years on down. So I don't want us to get caught up in just natural years. I want us to get to be thinking in the sense that God's always calling his people to something new. And so you'll be young in that. And there's going to be some great opportunities in this coming year to do new things. Behold, God said, I do a new thing, right? And so we need to be in the place where we get on board with it, because here's why he wants to do it. He said, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example, that tupos, that die, of the believers. Now think about that. God wants you to know that Romans 12:3, God dealt to every person the measure of faith. And so your faith determines what you believe. And so he gave us the measure of faith, and it's our job, Peter said, to add to that faith. It's our job to release that faith. And you and I, our faith is growing in the sense that we're walking with the Lord, and he reveals a new thing for us to do, and we step out in that and we do that, and all of those things that faith is expanding, but your faith in that sense, then it causes you to believe. And so God wants you to be an example to the world of what you believe in. Now, in other words, you need to know what you believe. What do you really believe? Do I believe this Bible? Where am I at? God is calling me to be an example. And so I don't want to get caught up in tradition. I don't want to get caught up in denominations. I don't want to get caught up in what mama and daddy said or grandma and grandpa if it's contrary to where the Spirit of God is leading me. Amen. And so this morning I want you to know that you are an example. And so everything that you start to do or say, Lord, is my belief here, is it from my faith in you or is it from my experience in my walk up to this point in my life? And we want to bring it back to this. Amen. And if we'll bring it back to this, then you're going to influence. Why is that important? Because we've got all sorts of situations. You know, we talked about it here a while back. 1997, you had that Heaven's Gate deal with the Hale-Bopp comet and all that. Somebody had some influence on somebody. But it wasn't of this. Somebody believed something, but it wasn't of this. We talked about Jim Jones and that tragedy in Guyana or wherever it was. There's going to always be somebody that's saying something because the devil is transformed as an angel of, and he loves to deceive people. And so we've got to say, now, wait a minute, Lord, every situation in my life, I know that I'm fixing to be an influence to somebody. Oh. The Spirit of God just brought something to my mind. You remember the Samuel Clemens, wrote by the pen name Mark Twain? His wife, she was a Christian lady. He kind of deceived her while he was courting her and let her believe that he believed like she did. And they ended up getting married and years went by. And when their daughter got sick and died and he saw her, she was just a broken lady. And he looked over at her and he said, "Honey, I won't get mad at you if you want to lean on your faith during this time, even though I don't believe like you do." And she said, "I don't have any faith left. I don't have any faith left." Now, I'm paraphrasing that. I'm going by memory. You look it up. I don't remember the exact words. But what's the point? The point is that he influenced her rather than her influencing him. You're an influencer. 2021, you got to see who you are and what you can do. Amen. You are an example of the believers. Now, Lord willing, Lord directed, I don't know for sure, but I feel like we're going to go in a direction in the coming weeks, and we're going to look at what he said here. But I just want to look at one thing this morning for sake of time. He said, "Let no man deceive thee, despise thy youth, but be thou example of the believers." Notice the first thing was in word. In word, because you and I, we know that James chapter 3 tells us that your words, my words, are like a rudder on a ship. They're like a bridle on a horse. Right? That little small helm, that rudder, it turns that big ship. That little bit in that horse's mouth, you can turn that big steed any way you want to go by just pulling. And so your words, my words. And so Jesus said in Matthew 12:34, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. He said that you and I, we need to be in a place where we recognize yea and yea. Let our yeas be yea, our nays be nay. Amen? Because it has an effect. So I'm supposed to be an example. You're supposed to be an example of the believers, number one, in words. Words mean something. Right now, we're seeing a time where I've never, my mind, I can't understand what's happening in the United States of America. I cannot understand where we've got elected officials who are voting and passing bills and spending money left and right. That's your money. That's not their money. That's your money and the things that they're doing. You spend $6.4 million to study how to build a toilet seat. Did you see that? To build a toilet seat that takes anal prints. Something's wrong. Something's wrong somewhere. You send all of this money overseas, $700 billion overseas, and they give them a 5,500-something page bill, and you've got 3 hours to read it? Something's wrong. We're not going to keep going like we're going. Amen? We've got to stand up. We've got to be an influencer. In other words, the church has pulled away and said, well, let politics take care of politics. Uh-uh. Anything that the church doesn't influence, it will go to the world. It will go to the devil. Amen? You and I are to influence every situation and circumstance. That's the way Jesus has called His church from the book of Acts, the founding, until the coming of the Lord. Amen. All right. In closing, go to the book of Colossians. How can I be in the place where I can have impact with my speech, my word? He said that I was, that you was, we were an example of the believers in word. That word is logos in the Greek. And logos means it's not just your words, but it's the thought behind your words. How important is that? Me and Donna, the only time we ever fuss is when we can't understand what we're saying. The devil gets involved in the situation, you know. And he loves to take words and put a cloud over them where you hear the word, but you don't know the meaning behind it. See, that's what logos means. Logos means it's the word, but it's the thought. It's the feeling behind it. See, we can touch people. We're an example. We're a die. We don't just give people a letter of the law that kills, but we give them the word by the Spirit. Amen? Colossians chapter 4, verse number 2. Continue in prayer. You know, persevere in prayer. And watch in the same with thanksgiving. Notice this. With all praying for us, this is how you and I need to pray for each other. With all praying for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance. That utterance is the same as word, logos. That God will give you a door into somebody's life. See, there's people right now that they're walking and through life, and the past few years has just been a blur. One day into the next, 1 week into the next, 1 month into the next, 1 year into the next. And they're looking and asking, can this year be better, or is it going to be worse? We know what the media is telling. What's God saying? So we pray for each other. Lord, I realize that you said that we were salt. We were light. We were an example. So open up a door of utterance. In other words, open up the door of heaven. I'll open up my mouth wide like Psalms 88 says, I open up my mouth, 84, I open up my mouth wide, and Lord, you fill it. And let when I talk to people, when my brothers and sisters, when the church talks to people, it's not words of religion. It's not words of judgmentalism, but it's words of love. Love. A door of utterance. Notice this. To speak the mystery of Christ, for which I'm also in bonds. He said, pray that you and I would have this door of utterance where we can give them the words and the thought behind it, but that we could talk. That this word talk means to lay forth words. You and I, we got to build a foundation with people. We want to lay forth words that are not our own words, but are the words inspired by the Holy Spirit. Amen? That's who you are. So what we want to do, we want to be faithful in this. He said, I want you to continue in prayer. I want you to persevere in this prayer, because there's going to be times you're not going to feel like praying this prayer. Because remember, you're going to be persecuted. And persecution is either going to push you closer to God and His will and His plan, or it's going to push you back. But it's not going to push you back. Amen. Because you've made a choice. You've made a decision that I'm going to serve God no matter what. Joshua 24, as for me and my house, see, we got you and I, we got to see that we've got the only thing that will satisfy people. I'll close with this thought. Then I'll read verse 4, though. But let me give you this thought. There was a man raised in Kentucky, in the most rural area. And one day he's in a big 747. He's piloting that plane, and they're flying over that lake. And he's talking to his co-pilot, and he said, I want you to look down there. And he said, okay, what am I looking at? He said, you see that little lake there? And he said, yeah, I see that. He said, if we went so high, you could see a little cabin over there on the corner of that lake. And he said, when I was a little boy, he said, I would come out of that cabin and I'd get in the boat with my dad and we'd go fishing. And while we was there fishing, I'd see these planes flying over. And I'd say, oh my, I'd give anything to be flying over in one of those planes. I wish I could fly one of those planes. He said, I've been doing this for 30-something years. And as I sit here in this plane, he said, I'd give anything in the world to be back in that boat. People are running after things that they think will satisfy them, that they think is everything that they're looking for. But the one thing they're looking for is there with them all the time. Because God said, I'll be with you forever. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. We've got to influence people. We've got to show them that God loves them with an everlasting love. He has a plan for their life. Now notice what he said in closing. Verse 4. He said, this is what we're to persevere in prayer about. That I, come on, that's you and I, that's the church, that we may make manifest, that's the same word that's translated as the book of Revelation, to take the cover off, to render apparent, that I may make manifest as I ought to speak. See, every situation is you and I are an example in word. We can say what God would have us to say. And just as God walked out there in the book of Genesis and he looked and he saw darkness upon the face of the deep and he said, let there be light. He knew what to say to change what the devil had done. Come on now, you are going to know what to say because you're going to, by the discernment of the Spirit of God, you're going to look and you're going to see what the devil's done and you're going to be able to say what God's will is over the plan of the enemy. You're going to influence it and there's going to be light. There's going to be a change, amen? Because God is going to give you a door of utterance and you're going to say by the Spirit. You're going to speak by the Spirit. You're a life speaker, amen? Father God, in the name of Jesus, we love you, we honor you. We thank you, Lord, that you're here. You're here because we brought you here, but you're here in a manifest way. Your anointing abides always within us, but now your anointing has come upon us. We feel your presence, and you're trying to seal us into this directive for this year. You're trying to bring an unction of where we're at in your plan and where we're at in your body, where we're at in your church. Lord, let that be so strong. Let us say yes to it. Let us embrace that truth, that reality. Let everything that would bind us up, every band, let it be broken. Let it be destroyed by the anointing this morning. And let us step up into this place in 2021. That we allow you to call us what we are rather than what we feel or rather than what we see around us. And we walk in that directive. Lord, let it be. We thank you for it. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you make yourself an altar at your chair? Or if you feel comfortable, you can come to the front. Make yourself an altar up here to the front, wherever. But would you just stop this morning and just drop your heart on the altar of the Lord. Let him just reaffirm in you his plan for your life, his vision for your life. Let him show you where you need to be in this coming 2021 in the directive from heaven. And if you have anything that the enemy is persecuting you about, hurting you about, today's the day to let the salt heal you. In other words, the Word. Let the Word, let your, the book of Colossians also says, let your speech be seasoned with salt. Let the Lord give you the speech this morning that is seasoned with salt, that you can speak over your own life that will bring healing. I'm here to pray with you. I put the mask up. I understand that we're supposed to obey certain guidelines, be cautious and all those things. But as you see fit, if you need anything, I'm here this morning to pray with you. I just want you to get this directive that the Lord has for you in your heart. And I want you to be in the place of expectancy to be able to go throughout this year in the power and the will that the Lord has destined for your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Make yourself an altar. If you need prayer, just let me know. I'd love to pray with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory.